Well, welcome, St. Margaret's. It's great to see you. Thank you so much for coming. It's marvellous to see you, actually. Yes, may I read you a few verses from Haggai chapter 1. Haggai chapter 1, verses 12 to 15, carrying on from what we didn't read last week on page 897. Clearly, I need new glasses. Page 896, actually. Haggai chapter 1, verses 12 to 15. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the whole remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the message of the prophet Haggai, because the Lord their God had sent him, and the people feared the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message of the Lord to the people, "I'm with you," declares the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel and of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, the spirit of Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, the spirit of the whole remnant of all the people. They came and began to work on the house of the Lord Almighty their God on the 24th day of the sixth month. I've lost count of the times, and I've just been wandering around the streets, bumped into someone and said, "We must get together, we must have a coffee or even meet for a drink soon. We're always meaning to do this, and we really must get it in our diaries. As soon as I get back to my desk, I'll email you or text you or whatever, and we'll sort out a date." And as soon as I, of course, get back to the office, something else comes up, I get distracted, I meet them again in the street 3 weeks later with slightly more embarrassment than the previous time. It happens 6 weeks later, 9 weeks later, and, you know, you just feel, goodness, I've got to get a grip on my life and do what I promise to do. Otherwise, people just think he's not interested and they just don't bother anymore. And last week, I was in a similar situation. I'd, you know, seen a chap, works around the corner. We'd been trying to get together for about 4 months. And he came to the office. He said, "I can't bear meeting you in the street again, so I'm going to come and find you in the place where you work when you have your diary and get something in the diary, a date agreed which we'll meet. And I don't want coffee, I want a drink. In fact, you've let me down so many times," he said smilingly. He said, "Why don't you give me dinner in your house soon?" And I was so surprised. I said, "What about Saturday night?" He said, "Done. I'll be there at 7:30. And I said, "Oh, right, I'm looking forward to that." He said, "Must go, got a meeting." And he shot out at the door. So I thought, well, that's me put in my place. Next time, it's much cheaper and easier to buy him a coffee. But at the moment, fortunately, I got a recipe I'd learned, so I knew I was able to do something. And 7:33 on Saturday night, he appeared with two bottles of wine. So it's just as well I'd asked another friend, otherwise it would have been a challenge. And and we had a real nice evening. We talked and laughed till midnight when, in a kind of smooth city sort of way, he ordered an Uber and was taken away like Elijah in a chariot of fire. So I learned a lot about getting on with people last week, building on what I'm learning all the time. And this extract from Haggai's prophecy reminds me of how easily that could happen in my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I can get too easily distracted. You know, I come to a church, well, I mean, I often come to church because I work here, you know, and I hear something, I think, "Lord Jesus, that's for me. It's going to make all the difference in my life. You've no idea how changed I'm going to be in the next few days." And then something happens, and it doesn't quite work. And of course, we all know that. We all have lives that are busy, we're juggling different priorities, we think, "If only I'd done that, if only I'd done that, the other thing, then things would have been almost easy." And Haggai and his contemporaries would have understood instinctively how we feel in those situations, because God had highlighted something very similar in their lives. He put them on the spot. Earlier on in the chapter, which we would have looked at last week, had the Holy Spirit not had a different agenda. In verse 4, he essentially says, "Why on earth are you so fixated in sorting out your homes in the most amazing way, and you can't be bothered to put together a place where I could be worshipped. He hammers it home. It's not just that you're sorting out your houses, that'd be great, but you're making them paneled houses, the very best. You're investing time and money and emotional energy in them. And what about the temple? You've not looked at it, not touched it. Worship clearly, God said to Haggai's contemporaries, isn't important to you. And in verse 5, he says, give careful thought to your ways. Just stop and think and don't be distracted, he said. Things clearly needed to change. And most of us, even in such a holy group of people, most of us will know those moments when God just stops us and said, things need to change. And they knew something wasn't quite right. Something wasn't working. God summed it up for them in the first part of 9a. You expected much, but it turned out to be little. Nothing they'd done had led to the success that they'd either expected or hoped for. They were both dissatisfied with life and distant from God. But when God spoke through Haggai, and they recognized that it was the voice of God, it didn't take long for them to change. Once again, God needed to become their priority. And in verses 12 and 13, we heard about the change that happened to them. They obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, it says. They feared the Lord. They'd understood that actually, when they stopped, they'd just been playing games with God, saying all the right things, but actually it hadn't been reflected in their lives. But God was still generous. I'm with you, he says. I've not changed. That was the promise I made to your ancestors centuries before, and nothing has changed. I am with you, he says. And then it says he stirred up their spirits. They actually felt God's presence in their lives, motivating them, changing them, bringing them into this renewed relationship. His priorities began to become their priorities. And they started rebuilding that temple. It stood and was used from 520 BC when they built it to 63 BC when it was destroyed. For generations, people met God in that place. The legacy of what they decided to do in the lives of tens of thousands that they could never have imagined, that the fruit was there, a people encountering Almighty God. And as Christians, we know that all that God said during those 3 weeks was reflected in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. At his ascension, he promised his closest friends, I'm with you till the end of the age. A few days later, they were reassured as they were filled with the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. A remarkable experience that, just as the experience of Haggai's contemporaries, stirred up the spirit within them. It was an experience on Pentecost Sunday that changed the friends of Jesus Christ, gave them a startling confidence as Christians, equipped them to do all the Lord Jesus was wanting them to do, freed them to make him their priority. And God's vision for you and me here in the city is similar. He wants to change us so that he becomes the first in our lives. We matter to him. He doesn't want to be sidelined by us because we matter to him. He wants us to be sure that his promises still stand I'm with you, he says afresh to you and me today. He wants us to be passionate about our faith. He wants us to try and understand how we can express it round here. He sends his Holy Spirit to us, just as he did to his friends 2,000 years ago, and his father did to Haggai's contemporaries over 2,500 years ago. And he has a purpose for you and me here. It's not just that we're satisfied with life. It's not just that we do well in our jobs. It's not just that we have good friends, a good marriage, good children, nice place to live. But we're called to make a long-term impact in the lives of those we work with. Perhaps the lives of just one person we work with. Because we want others to meet Jesus through that other person whom we have at one point introduced to the Lord Jesus Christ. We mustn't get distracted. We mustn't become distant from God. Today, he wants us to seek a new passion from his Holy Spirit. Let him stir up your spirit today. And frankly, he's doing it already. He's doing it in your lives. When I talk to you and you talk about what God's doing in your lives and what God's doing through you, it's remarkable. I think of one chap who talked to a colleague, who brought his colleague, he became a Christian. We prayed, he's discipling his colleague. That colleague will marry, have children, have grandchildren. What happened in that conversation, in that office? Will be seen, the fruit of it will be seen in generations to come. I think of another chap, become a Christian in this place, searching for a church where his teenage sons can come and worship. They're cool. It's got to be the right place. He's got one choice to find the right church for them. If he gets it wrong, that's it for another couple of years, at least probably a lifetime, he sometimes tells me he thinks. He's determined to sort it out for generations. And Jesus looks at us, he says, it's great what you're doing. I know you're committed. You are amazing. You're here, which is a big thing. You've decided to leave your desk for a half an hour and risk the rain, a nightmare, let me tell you. But he says, I have a much bigger vision for you. And actually, I should have finished 5 minutes ago. I am so sorry. Let's worship. And I, do you know, and as the band comes forward, so I'm not wasting a single second. Two pictures this morning from people who didn't know what I was going to say. One was of a helium balloon half filled with helium. It was flying all right, but it could do so much more. And the other was of rain, of leaving Waterloo, and it just spitting. And by the time he was crossing the Millennium Bridge, it was pouring. He thought, actually, it's the latter that I want of the Spirit. If you want prayer, I'll be behind the band at the altar. I'd love just to pray that God will begin a new thing today before you dash back to work. I'd love to something to start afresh today. But you don't have to come forward. You just need to think, actually, I prefer to worship. And just say, Lord Jesus, I want a new thing to start.